And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, hello there. Welcome to the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Another day, just like so many other days in January. I swear the forecast has been almost the same every day. Mostly cloudy, high in the mid-30s. We're not complaining about this, mind you, because it's been pretty nice for January. But, well, another day just like yesterday and the day before. We have lots of guests to chat with today. We're going to be concentrating on talking about homelessness and how this problem affects our veterans. And we have several guests with us from VA Butler Healthcare, including the interim director, that's Sharon Coyle. Sharon, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Yeah, nice to have you here today. Also with us is the overseer of the HUD-VASH program, that's Summer Clapper. Summer, nice to have you here too.
Thank you, Dave.
I have to find out at length what HUD-VASH stands for as we go on in our chat here today. And Mike Clark is with us too. Mike is the program coordinator for the homeless program, right, at VA Butler Healthcare.
Yes, yes.
I'll bet a lot of our listeners didn't even know there was a homeless program at VA Butler Healthcare.
That's very possible, I think, unless you get caught up in that process of struggling with homelessness or being at risk of being homeless, it would be easy to miss that. I think oftentimes the homeless population is kind of an invisible population that it's easy to look past and not even know folks are there in that condition.
Mm-hmm. Not only do you have a program there, Sharon Coyle, but it's a significant problem, I guess, among some of our veterans.
It sure is. You'd be surprised. It doesn't discriminate. People of all types have been treated by our staff. We have very good staff.
Do we know just how significant the problem is? Is there any way to estimate the number of veterans who are without homes?
So that number obviously fluctuates over time, but the VA story with our many, many outstanding community partners is really a success story. We try to, as much as possible, make sure that there are no veterans within our catchment area who are currently homeless at any given moment. And so anytime we find a homeless veteran, we utilize all of our resources, both within the VA and in the community, to address the immediate issue of homelessness, which is obviously a tremendous crisis, if you can imagine, not knowing where you're going to sleep at night, especially this time of year when it's cold. But really, any time of year, it's a crisis. So the moment we find out there is a homeless veteran, we can generally have that person in some kind of program within 24 to 48 hours. So we try to work very quickly. So the answer to how many homeless veterans are on the street, we always hope the answer is zero. We know it won't be. But we try at each moment when we identify a homeless veteran to get them into some kind of program within a very short frame of time. So we really welcome the opportunity to be here today and talk about this issue, and we appreciate our community. Butler is an awesome community to work with in terms of supporting veterans, as are our other five counties in our catchment area. And we really depend on our community to inform us. We get, you know, phone calls from folks in the community. Hey, there's a veteran. You know, maybe they're holding up a sign somewhere. Maybe they've come across a different agency. So we look forward to receiving information. Sometimes bus drivers have identified, you know, veterans who are homeless, landlords, different folks. So we depend on our community to inform us and support us. And Butler is an amazing place to do this work because it's a very veteran-friendly area.
Summer, is there ever an attempt to get a census or a count or something like that of the or an estimate of the number of people who are homeless, number of veterans who are homeless?
So there's two things that we try and track within the homeless program. We have a one-time national count that just actually happened last week.
Oh.
It's all across the country. It's called the PIT, the PIT count, which stands for point in time count. It's a 24-hour window where folks, the VA, and community partners participate and go out and canvass the area, and in a 24-hour period, they count the sheltered and the non-sheltered veteran or homeless individuals. Mm-hmm. Can be veterans and civilians. Mm-hmm. And we just had that last week, and so in each one of our five counties that the Butler VA services, we had teams in place that participated in each of those five counts.
You have community partners here in Butler County that help with this?
Yes, definitely.
Who are some of the partners that help out?
So the folks at CCR, Center mm-hmm. for Community Resources, the Grapevine. Mm-hmm. I understand you mm-hmm. talked to somebody from the Grapevine recently.
Yes, I had them on this program. Week, yeah. Uh-huh.
There's different shelters, different individuals. There's an LHOT, which is a local housing options team, mm-hmm. which is staffed by some fantastic people. They participate, so lots of different volunteers. Mm-hmm. That process of the point-in-time count is really driven by the counties, and then our VA team spread out and join with our community partners in each county to do the counts. And that can be anywhere mm-hmm. from going out into the woods and hiking in the woods in the middle of January and looking for homeless encampments in mm-hmm. the woods. Some counties have like a soup dinner where you invite homeless persons to come in and be counted that way. It's really become a very creative process. And that point-in-time count is across the entire nation. It's sponsored by the housing authorities, by HUD, mm-hmm. and it actually takes place all across the country at more or less the same time to try to address how many homeless persons, including veterans, there are at any given time.
Well, this would be, the best estimate. Do the best you can, but, it's important mm-hmm. to Sharon Coyle to get some statistics so that you're not just mm-hmm. guessing, on the extent of the problem.
Absolutely, and I was fortunate enough to spend some time with Summer, actually, mm-hmm. last week, and some of the different things I never thought about, going to laundromats, going to libraries. Some people will ride transit, mm-hmm. public transit, to stay warm. So a lot of the different areas that I never considered, not working in that field as a clinical specialty, but, the staff are great at really identifying and knowing where to reach the people in need.
I know in some major urban areas. In fact, there was a story in Pittsburgh here a couple of weeks ago I saw on the TV news of there are certain places in Pittsburgh where homeless people tend to gather, underpasses for bridges and so on in the downtown area where there will be numerous people on any given night, kind of huddled together. Are there places like that in Butler County? Maybe not that numerous or that many people, but are there spots where you kind of know where to look, I guess?
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. There are places. They generally tend to be sort of wooded areas or places where people can kind of hide a little bit, be out of sight. But all around Butler, there are a number. And the folks who work in homeless programs, both in the VA and in the community, know where these sites are. We have on staff a peer support who mm-hmm. is actually a veteran who was homeless himself and who is part of our staff. So he's been there, he's experienced homelessness, and he is our outreach specialist who goes out into the woods and into different places in the community looking for homeless. Al Lane from the Grapevine often goes with him, so there's a partnership. Some folks from CCR often go, but we on a regular basis, not just on pit count days, but on a regular basis every month or so, we have teams out there looking for encampments. Mm-hmm. And scattered throughout Butler, you can find various encampments. Absolutely.
Now, yes. If these individuals that are located happen to be veterans, Summer, mm-hmm. I'm sure you try to get them to register and sign up with the Veterans Administration, right?
Yes,
with the VA.
Absolutely. And we can check very quickly within an hour or two, make sure and see what their eligibility is. We offer resources. Even if it's a veteran or a civilian, we would get them to the right door, get them to the right program. We have some pretty good programs for immediate housing here in Butler. for civilians and veterans, where we can house them temporarily, and then while we work with them on a plan for permanent housing. So,
and it's not just a question of being uncomfortable. I mean,
right.
This is life-threatening this time of year. Admittedly, it's been a mild winter, but this morning, for example, it was 19 degrees. And, you know, if you're out in the woods somewhere without a home, that's life-threatening.
Yes, absolutely.
Why is it, do you think, that some veterans have a problem with homelessness? You know, one could assume, and I'm just trying to look at this from, you know, the people who are listening in today, say, well, you know, when they left Butler County to join the service, presumably they had a home. Sometimes when they come back, they don't. Is that the problem that we have?
That can be part of the problem, but the issues with our population, the homeless veterans that we work with, they're folks who have a variety of barriers that kind of keep them from being able to be housed. Sometimes it's an income barrier, sometimes it's a mental health issue, sometimes an addiction issue or a physical health issue. So when we work with our veterans, we work with the most acute cases, the most challenging to help stay housed, because if you can house yourself, you don't really need us. So we work with some pretty complex array of issues, and we would definitely want folks to understand that one of the reasons the VA does this is because a veteran's service actually can contribute to the possibility of them becoming homeless, that some of the things that you experience in the military, learn in the military, some of the things that you go through, right, that it end up becoming issues that we need to treat through the VA also put you at a higher risk of becoming homeless. So experiences in war, you know, PTSD kinds of things, experiences with substance abuse that may develop in that setting, that very traumatic setting of being involved in a war kind of situation or a battle situation, these things increase your risk. So veterans become homeless sometimes in ways that are closely related to the military service, and that's why it's important for the VA to stand up for veterans and you know, be there for them and help them out.
That's a good point. I just happened to see an old movie a couple of months ago on Turner Classic Movies. It was called Random Harvest. Has anyone ever seen that?
Not seen that one.
Oh, it's a great old, it's, you know, like 1942 or something like that. Might even be late 30s. Greer Garson, radiant actress back in the day. And who else? Ronald Coleman is the returning veteran. And he was a World War I veteran.
Okay.
And the victim of what back in those days they called shell shock.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Now we know that it's post-traumatic stress syndrome,
that's
PTSD.
Correct.
But he, you know, it's adapted from a book by James Hilton, but he'd been married before the war, and he lost his memory, and he came back and he didn't recognize his wife.
Yeah.
And you know, anybody that doesn't recognize Greer Garson as your wife, obviously you've got major problems. I'm not making light of it, but I'm just backing up what you said, Mike. This can be a serious issue. Yeah.
Yes.
And of no fault of the veteran whatsoever.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. Listen, I need to take a break. It's so nice to have all of you here to talk about this. We're concentrating on the homelessness and what VA Butler Healthcare is doing about it to help homeless veterans here locally. We'll take a break. You're listening to the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We shall be back right after these messages.
Why pay more when you can get tobacco for less? Their store in Pullman Square Plaza includes a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a great variety of cigars and a 19-foot vape juice bar, not to mention their Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department supplies a wide selection of high-quality CBD products and is always adding to their product lines. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less, with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Welcome back, good friends. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program today. If you're joining us a little bit late, and that happens, a lot of people, especially listening in the car, just jumped in, turned on the radio. Who's on with Dave today? Three guests are with us from VA Butler Healthcare, including the interim director of VA Butler Healthcare, Sharon Coyle, and also specifically talking about homeless problems with veterans, Summer Clapper and Mike Clark are here. You mentioned, Summer, during the break that there's actually a national hotline for homeless veterans, or I imagine even that's family members of homeless veterans could call and say, here's correct. Somebody that might need help.
Yeah. So the VA has set up a crisis line, or actually, and also a homeless hotline for anyone experiencing a housing crisis. Mm-hmm. They can call. It's 1-877-424-3838. And we get calls. Our team yields calls from the hotline. We follow up and offer resources and screen them, see what program they would be appropriate for, and sometimes it's family members calling in to get information, sometimes it's the veteran calling in, and we get them to
have
the
you,
next
have
step.
Have you handled some of those calls here locally?
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. And in fairly short order, people mm-hmm. aren't waiting a long time to get at least a response from a live person?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We try to respond within the first 24 mm-hmm. hours. Mm-hmm. That's a national, so the mm-hmm. person calls in, they talk to an operator on the other end of the line who tries mm-hmm. to ensure that the person's okay in the moment, and then they'll route it to the nearest VA. Mm-hmm. We have on-call coverage folks from our team on call every day, so a person can call into the Butler VA, ask to speak to the member of the homeless team that's on call each day. That person who's on call, and Summer and I both take turns mm-hmm. along with other members of our staff in this duty, when we get the email with the hotline, crisis line call, then there's a place we log in, we get all the basic information, then we reach out to that individual.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what options are available locally. Let's take a hypothetical example, Summer. We have a veteran, and sure. He's homeless for one reason or another, and you get a call or you locate him. What happens next? Take us through that.
Yeah, definitely. So typically we will get a call, or even sometimes we have folks walk in and say they're in a housing crisis or they have nowhere to go that night. Sometimes the timelines are different. Sometimes they might have to be out of their apartment, or by the end of the month they might be becoming evicted, or sometimes people literally have come in with a bag and say, I have nowhere to sleep tonight. I've been homeless. I've been out on the streets. I've been at my buddy's on a couch. And so we do, an assessment. We make sure that they're medically stable. We make sure that their, mental health is stable. And we have a couple.
Can that be done right at VA Butler Healthcare?
Definitely. One of our team members, and we have our primary care teams that will evaluate someone medically. And then we have a couple options as far as kind of a what we call low barrier shelters. We can get someone placed, right away. Mm-hmm. And Mike, you oversee a couple of those programs. And so, then we also have some options in the community that we've accessed if our resources would, for whatever reason, not be available. But we can usually keep them in the VA, some of our transitional housing programs.
Yeah, there's when a veteran would come to us in a homeless state, we would be working very vigorously with our community partners. So, for example, Catholic Charities will sometimes put a homeless veteran up in a hotel for a few nights while we're working on a longer-term solution. The Center for Community Resources has a wonderful shelter where a person can go and stay for a minute, and they prioritize our veterans for that service as well. Mm-hmm. So we have some immediate sort of solutions for folks. And then the VA I feel like our team gets so much support from our leadership and from our VA in terms of resources. We have three terrific transitional housing programs. One's an emergency shelter, one's a long-term, and another one is a bridge, as in a bridge from being homeless to getting your own place, kind of so an intermediate kind of program. We have 30 beds available to our veterans here in our Butler catchment area.
And this is locally?
Yes, right here in Butler.
Wow.
10 of the beds are right here in Butler in a scattered site model. Then we have a couple locations that are further out, but transportation is provided to and from those facilities. Our 30-bed transitional housing options will provide anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 bed days of service for homeless veterans during the course of a year. So that's why we say we don't want any veteran on the street. We've got a place for you, temporary, where we can start to hook you up with the services that you need through the VA, the psychiatric services, a substance abuse medical services. We'll find folks in all kinds of conditions, because when you're homeless, you're not taking care of yourselves. Sometimes our medical providers within our VA are wonderful. They'll do an initial assessment of our veteran medically. I've seen cases where they've then sent that veteran maybe to Butler Memorial Hospital just to get stabilized because there's something physically wrong, maybe in terms of diabetes or something. So they'll go there. Then we'll work with the local hospital to get them placed in transitional housing. So there's a lot that we can do once we've identified a veteran and begin to work with them in a very short time. We hope to have them in a transitional safe space through our programs or our community partners. We hope to have them medically stable, get them psychiatric care if it's needed, and all those sorts of things. And then from there, we can begin to work at longer-term plans, which is part of what Summer's program is, one of the longer-term programs. But there's a lot we can do for veterans. And we've got increasing numbers of options for female veterans as well, so we're trying to expand those options. There's a lot we can do once we identify a veteran who's homeless.
Mike Clark, you have a very soothing voice. You are well suited. You notice that? You're well suited for this job. What if a veteran in a housing crisis somewhere doesn't have the money to pay for the services that you're talking about here?
Yeah, so the services that the Butler VA provides is at no cost to the veteran. We have a couple transitional programs that are more short term. A couple that Mike had talked about, the VA, they're called grant and per diems. The VA pays a daily stipend when a veteran stays there. We have contracts with two of those programs. And then we have another program where if the veteran would have some sort of income, they may charge a small percentage as far as just to cover, some of the offset, the costs. But that is, the income is not a barrier. They do not deny anyone based on income.
You're not going to keep somebody out in the cold just because they don't.
Not at all.
Correct.
Have any money at the moment.
That's correct.
I guess I was, we all have our thoughts, I guess, our stereotypes. Whenever we were talking about homelessness, I was visualizing a long-term homeless situation where, as you were talking, Mike, somebody might be, living out in the woods somewhere. Mm-hmm. But Sharon, this can come up all of a sudden. If Summer mentioned somebody's going to be evicted from their apartment or their home for lack of rent payment or mortgage payment or whatever, and suddenly, I mean, they had a home. It wasn't like they were living in the woods.
That's right.
But now all of a sudden they don't.
Absolutely. I mean, we've had people that have had, very good jobs in the community, lost their job, came upon hard times, had a hard time getting back on their feet. I mean, that can snowball very quickly when somebody finds themselves in that situation.
Mm. And Mike mentioned female veterans. So, and obviously there are some female veterans who would find themselves in a housing crisis, but it's a different ball game, isn't it?
Yes.
There's a commercial on TV. It's not about VA or healthcare or something, but it's a woman veteran who has three kids. I forget what the commercial is even about. And it doesn't appear that there's a husband or a father in there. And I'm just thinking of that sort of a situation. You know, if suddenly she found herself being evicted from an apartment or something.
Yeah, definitely.
This is an even more significant problem. You know, you got a couple of young kids or something.
Yeah, we definitely service female veterans with single or with children. And we have programs, housing programs for those. And then also we have sometimes men that have children that are in our program. Well, so
there's another thing I didn't think about here.
So families, you know, that's one of the voucher programs that we have. So we definitely see, just like you said, a lot of folks who are housed and then for whatever reason can't pay the rent and they're really at risk of becoming evicted. And so the VA has a program for that as well, to prevent homelessness. If there's somebody that's behind on rent, a veteran that's behind on rent, that was working, maybe lost their job. There is a program that we partner with. It's called SSVF, and another acronym, Supportive Services for Veterans and Families. And again, that's just some of our community partners, I guess, access that grant and help families who are facing homelessness. And we can hopefully prevent first them becoming homeless. If that doesn't happen and we end up having the family that's homeless, like Mike said, we have some community partners who have stepped up and will house them maybe temporarily until we can get them in a program for families.
That's Summer Clapper talking about that. Summer oversees the HUD-VASH program. And you know I had to ask you what that stands for.
Yeah.
Dealing with the federal government here, so the longer the acronym, the better, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
What does HUD-VASH mean?
Okay, so it's a partnership. It's a program. It stands for Housing and Urban Development.
That part I guess.
And
yeah.
VASH stands for VA Supportive Housing.
Ah,
so it's a supportive housing program, and it's for veterans, eligible veterans, and their family, whoever they define as their family. And it's a voucher program that involves long-term housing and long-term case management. So we don't just house the veteran and say, you know, goodbye, good luck, see you later. You know, we follow them clinical case management. We provide them ongoing for the length of the program. So the we screen veterans all the time for the program, and we have our team that each has a caseload that we follow of veterans, and they have, like you said before, various issues. It could be a medical issue and they could no longer work, or it could be maybe some untreated mental health issue, or and maybe addiction at some point made them homeless and they haven't had a place for a while. So we offer supportive services to follow the veteran and link them, wrap them with services, link them up to whatever kind of, you know, barriers exist. We try and address those barriers. It could be, you mentioned about the income. It's very typical, it's very common that veterans, when we first meet them, they don't have income. That is one of the goals that we work on. So if they still feel like they can work, we link them to our jobs department, our vocation department. If they feel like for whatever reason they can no longer work, then we assist them with applying for benefits. So that could be through the VA or Social Security. So the program, we work on their treatment. We work with them on their treatment goals through the length of the program.
I have more questions for our guests, but I need to take another break here. You're listening to the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Please stick around. We'll chat more with Sharon and Summer and Michael here on It's Your Turn right after these words.
The winter weather is quickly approaching. That means stopping at Osterling's Lawn and Garden should be at the top of your to-do list. Stock up on rock salt, snow shovels, and PetSafe snow melter to ensure that you are ready for those freezing cold weeks. Osterling's even has great pet items like grain-free dog biscuits, PetSafe dog harnesses and collars, indoor pet gates, and 40-pound bags of dog food. For everything you'll need this winter, find it at Osterling's Lawn and Garden.
You've been so busy getting ready for the holidays that you totally forgot to get your vehicle ready for the winter. No worries. West End Tire and Service kept their snow tire inventory up, but don't wait too long as they're harder to come by later in the season. West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great service, installation, and staff as Siemens provided for years. Their trained technicians will check your air pressure and do tire evaluations for free. Anytime. Stop in and see what's new and be sure to visit them on Facebook. West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street next to Battery Warehouse Plus Butler.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
The issue today, the main topic of discussion, is homelessness, with particular emphasis on veterans. With us here in the studio on It's Your Turn, Sharon Coyle. She's the interim director of VA Butler Healthcare here in Butler. Also, Summer Clapper and Mike Clark are here with us as well. They work with homeless veterans. Mike, I have read that some homeless individuals are homeless by choice. Now, this might seem unusual to some people, and I certainly don't broach the subject to be judgmental in any way, but I've read about this where people, they actually choose to, you know, live out in the woods. Have you run into this occasionally?
Absolutely. I would say it's rare that most folks who are homeless are eager to receive services and find a resolution to what we identify as their homeless situation. But I've had a few veterans over the years who have chosen maybe not to come into our services immediately. I remember a veteran who was living in the woods, had built himself a little what he considered to be an adequate habitat, was actually living in the woods, was a very, very bright individual. He was like tan. He knew how to tan hides and things like that. And I remember the conversation I had with him at one point. I said, you know, from my perspective, you're homeless. You're living in a place that's not intended for human habitation the way we think of it. You know, no indoor plumbing, running water, toilet, that sort of thing. And he said, I respect that, but from my perspective, I'm not homeless, right? I choose to live in the woods in these circumstances. So that was a fascinating conversation. And another veteran one time I was talking with about our services, and he said to me that he chose to continue to be homeless because he valued his freedom in a different way than I did. And he pointed out it was a valid point that, you know, I'm not free to, say, not show up to work or not do the things that are expected of me every day. So my housing and my sort of participation within society has certain limitations, whereas he felt like he was freer being sort of out there doing whatever he wanted each day and kind of surviving that way. So there are occasions where there are perspectives that are different. We, of course, do not force or attempt to force people into treatment or into programs. All of our programs are voluntary programs.
You just want to make sure that people who are in a housing crisis are aware that there is help out there.
Absolutely.
I actually flipped past last week. I was flipping through the channels on my TV, and it was a program called Mountain Men, where these guys lived, I don't know where they were, in the Yukon Territory or something like that, with, just as you said, none of what we would consider almost essential services today. So again, not being judgmental at all, you know, that's perhaps what some people care to do, but you want to make sure that they're aware,
right, Right.
That's right.
That there would be help available for them if they were veterans. Sharon Coyle, the interim director at VA Butler Healthcare, mentioned something interesting. We're seeing an increase in people in a housing crisis who also have a pet that they're concerned about. And you've run into this with some of the services offered through the VA.
Right. This has been something we've been seeing more and more of, and it provides another challenge in finding appropriate solutions for those veterans.
Mike's looking at me like you've dealt with this on occasion. Huh?
It's becoming more and more common, and I have to say I have a small dog at home, and I can't even imagine, you know, through a homeless episode, sort of being separated from her. You know, that's a very important relationship to me. So I think we get it in our programs. We understand that. It is an added complication that we've been very fortunate with the rise in things like service dogs and emotional support animals and things like that.
I was going to say, service dogs, that's a little bit of a different story. Yeah. But
even emotional support animals, for example, we have a contracted emergency residential shelter that will honor if somebody's emotional support, which is not the same high standard of a service animal. Mm-hmm. It's an emotional support, and we have programs that will honor that. There's a woman's shelter here in Butler now and it's not VA connected, but we work with them obviously because they serve veterans, female veterans, but they honor that. We have some outstanding landlords, and I'd like to give a shout out to our local landlords who work with our programs. It's not necessarily an easy thing being a landlord with one of our programs. There are definitely some challenges that can occur based on that, but we have some wonderful landlords who are willing to accept pets or emotional support or service animals in their units and do a good job with that. But it's definitely been an added wrinkle that I think just a few years ago, I've been doing this for maybe about 10 years, and not too many years ago, we didn't think much about that. But more recently, I think that's become an increasingly common situation.
Be a fine line to walk there, though. I just saw a story on the wire last week about the major air carriers are cracking down on what they consider people abusing this concept of emotional support animals. I mean, you know, guy was wanted to bring a peacock on a plane with him, claiming that it was emotional support. And you know, so most of the major air carriers are now putting some very, very strict limitations on that because it was getting out of hand. I mean, if I paid for hundreds of dollars for a seat on a airplane, I don't want a guy with a peacock sitting next to me, I tell you that. Well, anyway, it does happen, and in some cases it's a significant problem. What about people who have other obstacles, I think the word you used, Summer, was barriers.
That's right.
Perhaps an alcohol problem,
sure.
For example.
Definitely.
Do you require that they, you know, try to get a handle on this as part of the service that you offer through the VA?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dave. So for some of our veterans, that is a concern, and what we do is, again, we do an assessment up front to see how do they need immediate treatment, do they need a detox, do they need to go to Butler Hospital or another community hospital. The Butler VA, we have our domiciliary program. It's a drug and alcohol residential program. And for the program that I oversee, HUDVASH, the housing vouchers, the veterans, they get a voucher and they go find their own apartment. We, of course, help them, but we operate out of a philosophy that's called Housing First. And when the program was started back in 2010, they removed any upfront conditions for the veterans, because what they researched is one of the reasons that we had so many homeless individuals was because they had put those upfront conditions. You have to have a job, you have to be clean for so long before you can get into this housing program. And what they researched was it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. We had the most homeless individuals we had ever had.
It could be physically impossible for many.
So what they have come up with is we operate the VA and a lot of our community partners. We practice out of a philosophy called housing first. And the first thing we do is get them stably housed. And then once someone is housed, they can start to look at, you know, treatment, mental health treatment, employment, getting their medical and medical needs addressed. So the very first thing, and they realized that this philosophy was a lot more successful than what we had been doing previously in this field. So we do not have any conditions up front to get into the program other than you have to be VA eligible veteran, and that we can check fairly quickly. And we have case managers that you have to agree to work with. You have to agree. It's part of the program. It's, mm-hmm. you know, we come and check on you. We make sure there's no problems as far as, you know, staying housed, no issues with your landlord, with your neighbors, that you're paying your portion of rent if you have some income. And we also work with HUD, the housing authorities, and there's one barrier as far as one condition as far as a legal one legal requirement that the veterans cannot have, but that was another issue that they realized. If some of the previous veterans had any type of legal charges in their past, it could be a 20-year-old charge, and they couldn't get into public housing, or they couldn't get into certain landlords. Mm-hmm. So part of the program that I oversee, they are allowed to have, I guess, a blemish on their record. And the Congress has waived that they can get into a public housing voucher and have those, if that is a barrier for them. So some of our veterans have legal history, and we address all that in the program.
Well, I certainly don't have any expertise or education in this area, but it seems to make common sense to me that if you're trying to overcome some of these barriers, the important thing first to be would get a roof over your head and a warm shower and a shave.
That's
so
right.
That you can, you know, okay, let's see where we're at here, you know.
Yeah, and we have, like I said, the supportive services are really the key, because it's not just housing the veterans. A lot of people simplify this process. Why do we have homeless veterans? Would it just be easy to get them a house? But that's actually probably one of the easier parts of our job. It's keeping someone housed that have these issues is the hard work. So if someone has untreated mental health, if someone has an addiction, if someone has maybe still illegal, you know, criminal behavior, you know, how do you keep them housed so that they don't re-enter homelessness? Mm-hmm. And some people have been in our program for quite a long time, and other people graduate the program. They no longer need it. They just need it for a short term. And it is actually changing the landscape of our homeless issue. Currently, right now, across the country, the VA and HUD support 80,000 housing vouchers. And just here in our catchment area, which is five counties that we cover, we have 142 veterans in our housing program that have, they find their own housing and they use the voucher to help pay for the rent, and then we offer the supportive case management.
Do you think most of our listeners, Sharon Coyle, would be surprised at the number of homeless veterans that we have here locally? I mean, people tend to think of this as, you know, more of a big city problem, you know, New York, Chicago, or even Pittsburgh or something like that. But it's a problem here.
It is a problem here. And rural homelessness looks so much different than urban homelessness. And mm-hmm. so I think, you know, you don't see people in a subway station or out on the street. But as Mike had talked about previously, it's the encampments in the woods and the mm-hmm. other type of situations that we wouldn't typically think of in a rural environment.
Are some of these people in housing crisis vulnerable to abuse situations, where they get beat up or something like that?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, I think, in fact, it's hard for me to imagine as I'm a professional social worker, so I've worked with a lot of different populations over the years, but I'm really hard-pressed to find a population that's more vulnerable than a homeless person. Like, when you're homeless, when you don't have a place to reside, you become vulnerable for many things, and that includes being accosted on the street, that includes being beat up or harmed in a variety of ways, whether you're male or female. There are children involved, of course, the risks go up even higher. There's an extremely vulnerable homeless persons are also very vulnerable to manipulation, to being taken advantage of financially and other ways by folks in the community. And sadly, we have plenty of stories of folks who are willing to do that sometimes. So yes, I think this is a very, very vulnerable population. Absolutely.
We'll take another break. Back a few more minutes to chat with our guests here on It's Your Turn on a Thursday, so stick around. We'll be back with more after these words.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a Best Doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join us for breakfast any day of the week, including after church on Sundays. Have you made plans for dinner yet? Bring the family for a great home-cooked meal. Michael's Restaurant also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breasts, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more.
Talking about homelessness today, particularly among veterans, and more importantly, what VA Butler Healthcare can and is doing to assist veterans who are in a housing crisis. There's another aspect to this that we really haven't talked about, Mike and Summer, and that is something called the Veterans Justice Outreach. Do I have that correct, Mike?
Yep, you've got it.
And what's that all about?
So the Veterans Justice Outreach is a recognition that just as a veteran's homelessness might be, the likelihood of becoming homeless might be increased due to issues that arise from their military service, so do legal encounters also go up. So if a veteran comes back from a war kind of situation where lawlessness is the way you survive in a war situation, mm-hmm. and PTSD might result from that. And so there are issues that a person comes back that may increase, and statistically it's been very clearly demonstrated that a veteran who's been in a wartime situation, been in combat, has a higher chance of encountering legal issues directly related to the issues around their PTSD. So we recognize that that's a legal issue and a homeless issue. So under the umbrella of the Healthcare for Homeless Veterans programs, a program initiative was Veterans Justice Outreach. We have a couple of wonderful folks who do that program. We're very proud of the work that they do. They go into all five county jails in our five county catchment area. They seek out veterans within the jail system. They talk to them there. If they're homeless, they connect them for homeless housing type services. They also work with three wonderful veterans courts. There's a veterans court in Mercer County and Butler County, and a brand new one this year in 2019 in Armstrong County. Those are problem-solving courts, which are oriented. It's a fascinating treatment-type court. Mm-hmm. Veterans hold each other accountable. If anybody ever gets a chance to go see a veterans court in action, they're just amazing. Veterans hold themselves and each other to a high standard. The judge is there to help problem solve. We have VA representation there and other treatment providers within the community to ask the question, what can we do rather than just incarcerate this person? What can we do to help them sort of reintegrate into society and to become, a productive citizen again amongst us. So the VGO program has quite a few different pieces and serves a lot of veterans as well. So we just wanted to make sure the community was aware of that program as well.
A great program. Mm-hmm. I mean, and considering that the alternative is to just let this individual sit in jail, I mean, what does that help society or help them? That's for sure.
I used to work in the state prison system for a while as a drug and alcohol treatment specialist. And back in the day when I was doing that, which is probably 15 years ago now, the cost to society was over $40,000 a year to incarcerate one person for 1 year. So really, when you look at our programs, they're very cost effective compared to mm-hmm. that.
Speaking of which, and I'll address this to Sharon Coyle, who's the interim director. A lot of people might be hearing about these services that are available to veterans in crisis and saying, wow, I wonder what the cost of all this is. My philosophy always is, we're not giving this to veterans. Veterans earned this.
Absolutely.
Veterans earned this mm-hmm. in service to our country. That's the way I like to look at it anyway.
Absolutely. And a lot of the work that we do at the VA really does carry a social mission to it. And that's one of the reasons I love to work for the VA system. Just the amount of programming that we have available to serve our veterans who have served us is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. You've mentioned a couple of times the catchment area for yes. VA Butler Healthcare. Five counties. Obviously Butler County.
Butler County, Armstrong, Lawrence, Mercer, Clarion.
Okay. So it's pretty much that area between Pittsburgh and Erie,
that's
which
right.
are the only other two Veterans Administration facilities available in western Pennsylvania.
That's right. So any homeless veteran that we would identify in those five counties, our team would go out and work with. So we not only have good relationships here in Butler with our community partners, but we have really good relationships with, our housing authorities, emergency shelters, and like Mike said, we all participate in what they call local housing option teams, which is a meeting of housing agencies mm-hmm. in each county, and so that everyone's aware of all the resources and that the resources are all working together.
I would suspect that there are at least a handful of veterans in housing crisis who are hesitant for one reason or another to ask for help, whether it's, they feel that there's a stigma attached to this or maybe a macho thing like, we've discussed, ashamed to admit PTSD. Am I right on that? Does that happen occasionally?
Absolutely. And I think it is, one of the things that we deal with a lot of our veterans is if you think about the military and the culture, you're a soldier and you solve your own problems.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
So when then you come out and find that you aren't transitioning well or, it goes against kind of what the training they got. So I think a lot of times, a lot of the veterans that we meet are interacting with the VA for the very first time, and they come through the door of housing. But once they work with us and then we link them up to our medical care or psychiatric care or just other, facets of the VA, they end up getting their care there. They've had a good experience, and you know, could be dental care, any of the other services that they provide. But I think definitely, you know, that vulnerability of asking for help is really hard for, I think, just the regular civilian population. So let alone for our, you know, ex-military and our veterans, it's kind of goes against what their training, you know, was.
You put it better than that's what I was driving at, but you explained it better than I did. Can any veteran register with the Veterans Administration at any time, Sharon Coyle?
Any veteran can come in to determine eligibility at any time. And even if it's determined that a veteran's not eligible for care within the system, we do have those relationships with our community partners that we will still get that veteran to the right door.
Mm-hmm. Do they come in and see you folks, or do they call, or either or?
Yeah, we have a philosophy, no wrong door, so either or, and however we find out about a veteran who is homeless or at risk of becoming homeless, we want to respond. So we're not going to say, well, that's the wrong door, you have to do this instead of that. We're going to meet that veteran where they're at. However we find out about them. So that could be they might call in, they might walk in. We have somebody on call to meet with them. They might call the crisis line that Summer gave you earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the community, we've had homeless veterans who say would stop by a local business maybe where there was like free coffee.
Okay.
And
yeah,
they would stop by every day. And after a while, the concerned citizens of the community say, I think there's something more going on here. We think this, and they talk to the veteran, this is a homeless veteran. They might call us and we might send a staff person out to see them. We've gone out to respond to reports from community folks, concerned citizens, about veterans maybe holding a sign outside of a local store, hey, I'm a homeless veteran, and we'll send a staff out to talk to that person. So our philosophy is no wrong door. We want to know about homeless veterans, and any way that we find out about them, we will do our best to respond as long as there's a way for us to make contact.
And don't think this doesn't happen around here, folks. In fact, there was somebody that told me just a couple of days ago, they were driving right along the outskirts of Butler and saw a guy holding a sign that, you know, said disabled veteran. Asking for help from passersby, so we don't like to admit it, but it happens here, you know, right in our own backyard. That's for sure. Summer, can you give that phone number again that you gave earlier on the program for folks who weren't with us?
So this is the VA homeless hotline, and it's 1-877-424-3838.
And that's a national. That's toll free, by the way. 877. That's a national hotline, but you'll be directed in short order to someone here locally who can take care of things. And this could be a family member or a concerned individual about somebody else who they know or feel might be in a housing crisis. Good stuff you're doing, guys.
Yes. Yeah.
How many case managers do you have working on this, by the way?
We have 11 on our team, 2 for the Veterans Justice Program, and 9 of us on the homeless team, as far as, you know. And we have, in my program, HUDVASH, there are 6 case managers. So we have our peer, we have a nurse, and I would say the majority of us are social workers. But we have a diverse team.
All right. Is everything based at the new A.B. Abraham Center, or...?
Yeah, our team is based there, but we go out throughout our 5-county catchment area, so... our staff doesn't sit at the VA all day, every day, or we're a community service program. We always have somebody on call providing coverage at the VA every day in case somebody needs us there. But our staff is also out traveling every single day.
Sharon Coyle's been smiling the whole time we've been chatting here because obviously you're quite pleased with the services that are available here to people in a housing crisis.
I think they're great services. I think that the staff are wonderful. You know, as we've mentioned, this is a very vulnerable population, and the staff that we have, including Summer and Mike, are extremely dedicated and skilled at treating this specialized population.
Thank you so much, all of you, for sitting in and enlightening us and chatting with us here today. It's a good conversation. Thank you. Kelper, as always, thanks for helping to set up our program here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Dave.
That wraps up our Thursday edition. We do invite you to be with us tomorrow. What are we going to do on tomorrow's program? We're going to remember the late Butler County Commissioner Dale Pinkerton. And with us is a man who served on the Board of County Commissioners with the late Dale Pinkerton. Jim Lockheiser is going to be chatting with us here today and sharing some wonderful stories. So hope you can be with us tomorrow, Friday edition of It's Your Turn. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow, 12:30.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Quintet is back. We'd like to thank all of our beautiful friends all over the country for all the beautiful vibrations. We love you.
Teeny bopper, my teenage love.